Blog Talk Radio. I'll sit down, Colby Chef. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hosanna. Lord, you're holy. Welcome tonight, Wednesday night Bible study. Just thanking God for the opportunity to be here and be in God's presence. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior. As we journey to our new lesson and study this new month, and hallelujah. And we just thank God for new mercy and new grace on today, our lesson and study. We're just revisiting the place again about the Holy Spirit baptism. Amen. And life in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit operating with and in the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what that looks like and visiting that place again here. So, again, welcome tonight to Wednesday Night Bible Study. Let us pray as we enter in. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father God, we come to you all honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We come exalting your name above all names, for there's no one greater than you, Lord. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, to save us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs us and brings back to remember your word. And we just want to say thank you as we enter in the lesson study on tonight. We ask you to have your way, open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let there be a great pouring in on tonight. We come against every hindering spirit, every unteachable spirit, every lying spirit, manipulating spirit of confusion, spirit of frustration, spirit of distraction, destruction, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare we have a free passage on tonight that we will receive the word of God, being baptized by the Holy Spirit of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And we just want to say thank you. We bless your holy name, and we decree and declare victory on tonight. Amen. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, let your word take root and manifest in us and be engrafted on our hearts and on our minds, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you. Oh, Lord, let us receive revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word as we read on tonight, oh God, as we come to study and show ourselves approved, that we may apply, apply your word to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, Heavenly Father. And it's in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. So again, on tonight, we're talking about life in the Holy Spirit. I mean, Holy Spirit baptized. Amen. Not just by water, but by the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Our comforter, our helper that Jesus Christ sent. So let's talk about the truth about the Holy Spirit. The truth about the Holy Spirit in this lesson, okay? As we're going to be journeying forward in the next couple of weeks, diving in and understanding the Holy Spirit, how it operates, why it was sent to us, and how we receive the Holy Spirit, and why it was important for us to have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. Many people think Jesus' final words of instruction to his disciples are found in the final two verses of the book of Matthew, when he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. However, these words were not the last Jesus spoke to his disciples. His final word of instruction to his followers was not go, it was wait. It was wait. So we find this command recorded in the final chapter of Luke and again in the book of Acts chapter 1. Being assembled with them, he commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father of which you have heard from me, from John. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when we look at in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, again, it said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, so when we look at this scripture here in 4 and 5, understanding the Trinity is a description of the unique relationship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had stayed on earth, this physical presence would have limited the spread of the gospel because physically he could be in only one place at a time. So after Christ was taken up into heaven, he would be spiritually present everywhere through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent so that God would be with and within his followers after Christ returned to heaven. So the Spirit would comfort them, guide them to know his truth, remind them of Jesus' words, give them the right words to say, and fill them with what? Power. Power. So at the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was made available to all who believed in Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit, amen, are baptized with him when we receive Jesus Christ. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit must be understood in the light of his total work in Christians. So one, the Spirit marks the beginning of the Christian experience. We cannot belong to Christ without his Spirit. We cannot be united to Christ without his Spirit. We cannot be adopted as his children without his Spirit. Saying that we cannot be in the body of Christ except by baptism in the Spirit. The Spirit is the power of our new lives. He begins a lifelong process of change as we become more like Christ. Amen. So when we receive Christ by faith, we begin an immediate personal relationship with God. The Holy Spirit works in us to help us become like Christ. The Spirit unites the Christian community in Christ and Christians. Amen. So the Holy Spirit can be experienced by all, and he works through all. Amen. So in all, he works through all. So understand that. Say, Jesus told his disciples to wait. So wait before they go. Change the world. He knew if they went without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, nothing would happen. He was telling them, don't try to do anything I've instructed and called you to do until you receive this additional baptism. So you only be striving in your own natural ability and nothing of lasting spiritual value will be accomplished. Wait. Wait for what? I promised you a helper. I promised you a helper. So if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus at the moment you were saved. But let me ask you this. Have you asked Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? If not, in whose power are you attempting to live the Christian life? There are three baptisms. We talked about this before. Hallelujah. We talked about this before. There are three baptisms. Many Christians are unfamiliar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, most believers only know about water baptism. We can easily deal with this baptism because the Bible depicts it clearly. Take John the Baptist's activity in the Jordan River, for example. If you attend a church that practices water baptism, you see it with your own eyes all the time. Still, the Bible mentions two baptisms you can't see with your physical eyes. You can only see the after effects of them in a person's life. So let's explore all three to understand the differences. So we're going to do that tonight to understand the differences. Amen. All right, so baptism of the Holy Spirit, one. You probably already know about this baptism, but you might know it by a different name, salvation. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we are slaves or free, and we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. So who is doing the baptizing in this verse? The Holy Spirit is. So when you and I experienced salvation, we were both baptized into the same body, the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the agent who did the baptizing. So this is the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, but it's not the baptizing in the Holy Spirit. Okay, two, water baptism. So if we are obedient to the commands of Scripture, we choose to experience a second baptism. This one is in water. So this type of baptism is what Jesus had in mind when he said, go thee for and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to Matthew 28:19. So this baptism symbolizes our new life in Christ. So then we have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist refers to Jesus saying, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John's statement here is one of just a handful of statements or accounts present in all four gospels. So you can find the other three versions of this verse in Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. You'll also find accounts of death and resurrection of Jesus in all four gospels, as these events are obviously central to the gospel story and explain vital truths believers need to understand. So I believe it's significant. I believe it's significant that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is in all four as well. So Scripture clearly shows us Jesus is the one who performs this baptism, immersing us in the Holy Spirit. Yet because this baptism has been harmfully misrepresented, countless Christians avoid it. So how could Jesus baptizing us in the Holy Spirit possibly be a bad thing, though, especially when it's so plainly present in the Bible? So we look about Peter's Pentecost sermon. We see this in the book of Acts. So when we look here, this promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit came powerfully to the disciples in Acts 2. So Peter delivers a sermon immediately after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In response to Peter's preaching, a number of his Jewish listeners fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts 2:37 tells us, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do is the question. That's a pretty broad question. How does Peter respond? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So notice this active verse, these active verbs here in these verses. Peter outlines three baptisms, and he says, one, repent. This is the vital primary step in the baptism of salvation, to be baptized. Peter urges his listeners to follow Jesus' example by submitting themselves to the water baptism, and then three, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is the third baptism. As Peter indicates here, the Holy Spirit will not force himself upon anyone. He must be received. So from here on out, the third baptism continually follows the first two as an essential critical part of the Christian life. Hallelujah. 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 There's great joy in Samaria. For example, in Acts 8, we find the evangelist Philip preaching and teaching in Samaria. After revival breaks out, many people are healed, delivered from demonic oppression, and saved. Then verse 12 tells us, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So two of the three baptisms are found in this verse. They believe means the people received the baptism of salvation. Then they were baptized in water. That's two. What about the third baptism? Immersion in the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading in verse 14 and 16. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice what this passage doesn't say. It doesn't tell us that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who gave these new believers the right hand of Christian fellowship because they had everything they needed. So in the early years of, you know, of many Christian lives, or my Christian walk, this is precisely what I was taught, as even learning this lesson, So once I was saved and water baptized, I had everything I needed to live the Christian life. Of course, now I know that without receiving the Holy Spirit, I was living a powerless, defeated life of minimal effectiveness in God's kingdom. Peter and John didn't dare do that kind of disservice to the new believers of Samaria. They were happy these folks had received the first two baptisms, but the first thing the disciples asked was whether or not the new believers had received the third one. So when the answer came back, no, the apostles immediately addressed the situation. They laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Only then were these new Christians fully equipped to be all God called them to be. Amen. So I've heard people argue that the baptism of the Holy Spirit only occurred on the day of Pentecost, yet these events in Samaria occurred months or even years after those in the book of Acts 2. And this isn't the last time we see people experiencing three baptisms in the scripture either. So the pattern continues in these pieces. See, many years after the Pentecost outpouring, we hear about the Apostle Paul's ministry in Ephesians recorded in Acts chapter 19. And it happened while, hallelujah, Apollos was at Corinthian, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Now, this is in verses 1 and 2. Amen. So, interestingly, the people Paul encountered were disciples who already believed, meaning they were followers of Jesus Christ. Now, notice Paul's question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So Apostle Paul doesn't seem to have any doubt in his mind that someone can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, yet not receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul knows that a person can be baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ's salvation, yet not be baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. By the way, I love the response of these other believers. "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Maybe these people went to the same church or attended as we have grown up. Some told them enough about Jesus so they could be saved, but they hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. So Apostle Paul found this so puzzling that he decided to check and make sure that these people were actually saved. And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" You see this in verse 3. And when they said into John's baptism, Apostle Paul explained that they were missing. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Apostle Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So notice what happened when the Ephesian believers received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. We see this pattern again and again through the book of Acts. Hallelujah. 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 If you're just now tuning in or logging on, we are talking about, we're just revisiting the lesson study we studied some years ago about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit baptism and how it's important that we receive it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the three witnesses in heaven and on earth. Now let's look at 1 John 5:7. There are three that bears witness in the heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Of course, the Word is a reference to Jesus. But do you believe what this verse says, that the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one? In other words, do you believe in the Trinity? And I suspect that you do. This verse says that these three all bear witness in heaven. Of course, we aren't in heaven right now. We're on earth. So who or what is bearing witness here on earth? The next verse tells us, and there are three that bears witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So here we have the three baptisms in reverse order. The three witnesses on earth are the Holy Spirit baptism, water baptism, and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. So each one of these baptisms represents a distinct work of grace God wants to do in our heart and lives. Salvation is a miraculous work of grace upon the heart. Water baptism is a work of grace in and upon the heart of man, and a believer's baptism in the Holy Spirit releases within us the supernatural empowerment to do all that God calls us to do. Amen? All that God calls us to do. So as we've seen, Jesus commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the promised Holy Spirit came. Why? Because in Jesus' own words, they would be clothed in heavenly power. So receiving empowerment to be witnesses for him all over the world and do even greater things than he had done, according to the book of John 14:12. They could not do it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me condense and summarize these three witnesses in a personal way. When I was saved, I became a new person. When I was baptized in water, the old person was cut off. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would see the power to walk in the new. Amen. So this third baptism makes a huge difference for years. Amen. And understanding just operating in the world and, you know, saying, oh, I'm saved and filled. But when I received the Holy Spirit, oh, my God, my eyes were open. My ears were open. My mouth, I began to speak with a new tongue. Amen. Hear with new ears and see with new eyes. Amen. And the wonderful intimacy with the Holy Spirit that I began to enjoy became so precious to me that I would shrink back at the thought of doing anything that would grieve him, because God's word was now alive to me in a new way. Amen. New way. I suddenly found scriptures coming to mind at critical times of need or even temptation. See, this sense of anointing I had frequently experienced in my walk, it quickly became to be a part of my daily life. Everywhere I go, whether the grocery store, at work, when I speak to people, most important, inside the walls of my home. Amen. The question is, what about you? What about you? I want you to ask yourself an important question. Have I experienced only two baptisms? Have you ever experienced an immersion of the Holy Spirit that brought supernatural power and help into your life? Jesus wants to baptize you with power from on high. Why in the world would anyone say thanks, but no thanks to that? Many Christians are living lives of defeat, frustration, and failure. As I did before, I opened my heart and mind to this third baptism. I've lived life and realizing it without the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you now that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that worked in me. I never want to go back to living that world again for nothing in this world, for no amount of money, position, fame. It is too wonderful to have God, the Holy Spirit, as a best friend, always here with me, working in me, guiding, leading me, instructing me in the way to go. And I'm so grateful for it all. The Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. According to the book of Acts 1:8, that's the biblical truth that can transform your life. Will you pray and receive the Holy Spirit today? Will you pray right now and receive the Holy Spirit today? I'm not going to take us any further than that. I don't want to put too much on your mind, but we'll be back here. We're going to continue this lesson and study. For those that were log on and listen to this Bible study, because they are archived, and I pray you be able to receive. Amen. As we come back here on next Wednesday, we're going to talk about a desire, Holy Spirit relationship. Desire a Holy Spirit relationship. I do want us to pray this prayer here before we log out here today. If you're listening online tonight and you have any questions about the lesson, please call 845-277-9213. Again, that number is 845-277-9213. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Father God in heaven, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were gathered together in one place as your Son instructed. Jesus told them you would send the promised gift and they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were gathered. Then what look like flames of fire or tongues of fire settle on each person. You fill each one of them with your Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in other tongues or languages as your Spirit enable them. Heavenly Father, I ask you to fill me the same way with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Send your tongues of fire to settle upon my life. Amen. To settle upon me right now. Bless me with this heavenly promise also. Holy Spirit, you are most welcome in my life. Invade every facet of my being and set a fire in me to burn with a passion for serving the Lord our God. Give me the gift of speaking in tongues, my heavenly prayer language, to strengthen and edify my prayer time with you. Thank you for this wonderful gift. I receive it right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer today, may it be according unto you according to your faith. Father God, Lord, we leave the sign of your presence, you that go before us, preparing the way, give your angels charge over us, oh God. Lord, I ask that you bless everyone that has an ear to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Ear to hear and a heart to comprehend what your word is saying on tonight, oh God. Lord, let's receive our understanding, Father God, even more. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, as I decree and declare victory over our life, our entire life, all that's concerning us, all that we love and concerned about. I decree and declare victory, present and future to come. And I thank you for it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, if you have any questions as we wrap up here, our Bible study on tonight, I'm just so grateful and just thanking God for the opportunity that we have here tonight together on this line. But if not, God bless you. You all take care. We're back here tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Wednesday night, not tomorrow night. We're back here Wednesday night for Bible studies. We're going to continue to teach on and receive and understand, you know, the Holy Spirit, how it operates, why it's important in our Christian life and our walk in Christ, amen, and living a life in the Spirit. So we just thank God. God bless you. God keep you. You all have a blessed night in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say,
give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansions. Just because I love gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you ask him, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise you for all of my days. I'm telling you, but at least I'm breathing, yeah. get that.